We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. We'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Starting the show tonight, talking Hoops, talking Celtics, trying to identify and figure out just what the hell is going on here. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. Until then, we will get back to your phone calls tonight at 617-779-7937. And really, I feel like the problem is twofold. You've got a two-part problem with the Celtics right now, at least to start. You got a problem with your head coach, and you have a problem with your best player. That's typically not a good recipe for success. Right now, Brad Stevens' ability to effectively communicate with his team is seriously lacking. And if you want evidence, because this isn't just my, you know, Gilroy emotional opinion, the evidence is right there. The video evidence is right there. We saw it happen over the weekend in Orlando as the Celtics, first of all, they found themselves in a game where they should have been up by 15, 18, 20 points in the first half. You just continue to lollygag out there and leave points on the floor, play sloppy, sloppy basketball, and look disinterested. But despite all that, their talent level kept them in the game, kept them with that lead. And then Orlando, they wanted it more. They put their sort of pedal to the metal, and despite the fact that the Celtics have elite talent as compared to the Magic, the effort level could not be matched. Orlando comes back. They grab a 9-point lead with about 2 minutes to go. The Celtics panic. They do what they do best. They get the thing close. They give themselves a chance to win because when they panic and they try hard, as they did again last night in Brooklyn, then suddenly we see the Celtics, well, you know, when they put effort in, what do you know? Things change. So you had Kyrie Irving very emotional and unhappy with the head coach at that position at that point. And that, to me, told you everything you need to know about where this team is at right now, because Kyrie, he didn't even have the ability to hold it in and meet with his coach privately after the game. No problem if a player has a problem with a head coach's decision. It's all about how and when you address it and knowing the environment in which you address it. Meaning, he knows that he's got young guys, you know, essentially 21, 22-year-olds watching everything that he does. He knows that he is the leader of this basketball team, whether he likes it or not. That is his role. He's got the championship experience. He played with LeBron. He is the MVP candidate. He is the guy who is guaranteed to get himself a max deal this summer. He is the de facto leader of this team. And when he is publicly rolling his eyes and disrespecting his head coach, guess what? You got to put Kyrie in the problem category, at least at the moment, because his leadership style is not been effective with this team thus far this year. If anything, he has pushed his teammates further away and alienated his teammates, and that's not a recipe for success. And then you look at Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, unfortunately, for everything that he's done well here, for all the good that he's done, for all the joy that he has brought Celtics fans, and make no mistake about it, he made the transition from the Big Three and the Doc era to this new version of the Celtics. He made that transition a pleasure to watch. He has been a wild success up until this season. Somehow, some way, this Celtics team didn't lose any bit of their televised audience. You guys, Celtics fans, continued to come back for more because you liked the way that this team played. You liked the way that Brad Stevens got his team to play. You liked that we had a head coach here that was able to get Jordan Flippin' Crawford to put up 20 points a night and look like an effective basketball player. You know, you got a head coach here that found a way to turn Isaiah Thomas, a good player, a career off the bench, sort of lightning rod, you know, microwave Vinnie Johnson type of player, Nate Robinson type of player, into an MVP candidate. You know, that's what Brad did so well. That's what he continues to do well. But now Brad has been handed, quote-unquote, elite talent, and it's all coming apart at the seams. He's not effectively communicating with that talent, and that talent has tuned him out. And the fear now for Celtics fans, I'm telling you, is once Kyrie Irving lets it be known publicly, as he did in Orlando, that he is no longer listening to that head coach, that has the potential to trickle down through the remainder of the roster, and Brad is in danger of losing his basketball team. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we will go. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Springfield. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, Mike?
Listen, man, I hear you going after Kyrie, but trading Kyrie at this point, I just think that's stinking thinking. But
I like that. I like the stinking thinking. I might use that another time. But
yeah. But hold on. Let me just get to a couple other
points. Yeah, do it, man.
I think their defense, I think if they play defense, you know, they'll start winning again. But they're just not playing any D.
Why?
But, well, maybe the effort. But my last point is I see you're at, you know, Kyrie and you're at the coach. But where's Danny Ainge blaming this whole thing?
Well, serious question here. Danny Ainge turned a bag of balls and Marcus Thornton into Isaiah Thomas. And then he took an injured Isaiah Thomas who's played 15 games since leaving the Celtics and flipped him for Kyrie Irving. So, again, he got Jason Tatum with the number 3 pick. You know, so I have a hard time blaming Danny Ainge right now for what's happening with this team. He put the talent on the roster. It's not Danny's fault that Gordon Hayward got hurt. You know, but I feel like when you look at this team, there's a communication problem. You just said it. When they play defense, they're good. They're not playing defense. What has been the hallmark of this team under Brad Stevens? They've been a great defensive team, a great effort team. Where is that this year?
I hear you, though, but like it just seems like when you said about communication, like Danny's all their bosses. Like he's not bringing these guys, sitting them down, talking to them like, hey, We gotta get it going.
That's the coach's job, man. That falls under the realm of the head coach. That's why guys like Doc do so well in the league, and why players want to play for him, because he's not as good of a basketball coach as Brad Stevens. I would rather have Brad draw up my plays than Doc Rivers, but Doc is a much better people person and you know personality manager than Brad is.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
it's
man.
Tough, man.
I hear you.
But listen, you're not wrong. This is the problem here with this conversation. You're not wrong. I'm not wrong. I feel like we sit here and there's so many little issues with this team, and it's all sort of bubbling up together. That's what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to figure out which ones of these issues are fixable. What can this team do to make this season not a total wash, not a total loss? You know,
Defense.
Simplest answer right there, man. I appreciate the phone call. It all gets back all to right. effort, man. And that's the thing. Thanks, Mike. You know, play defense. And it's as simple as that, but it's not. Because, again, this team is not listening to their head coach the way they did last year. This team is not putting forth the effort that they historically have. This team is not sort of replicating what led them to all that success last year and the previous years. This team was a Final Four team the last couple of years. You look at this team right now, I'd have a hard time picking them against most teams in the Eastern Conference, especially if the Celtics wind up finishing the season where they are right now. 5 seed, potentially a 6 seed. Now you've lost home court. Last year, if the Celtics don't have home court, they're probably not getting by the Bucks. And that's a bit of a reality check here, where home court, you look at the Celtics, they're 15-5 at home. They're 10-13 on the road. I'm telling you right now, that is the mark of a team that has got zero mental toughness. And that is wildly disappointing for a team that is led by a guy like Kyrie Irving. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to Tim. Tim's in Maine. Tim, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I did have a good take on that. I mean, I think Kyrie Irving, either he needs to get it together, find out what he wants to be, whether he wants to be a leader or just a role play guy, but I think the coach is having a hard time finding a role play and finding these guys' roles and identifying them, because everybody's in and out of the lineup so much. The lineup's changing so much. You can't keep a straight. These guys are confused. They're like, are we starting? Are we supposed to shoot more? Are we supposed to, you know, what are we supposed to do? And then you have Kyrie on the side just kind of blowing the team up out of nowhere. So, I mean, I really think it has to do with their roles. None of the guys really know what their roles are. If they're the leaders, if they're just there, or, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, and Brad Stevens is having a hard time with that.
So. Yeah, and you know what? If you're a head coach in the NBA, Tim, you have to have the ability to not always be liked. And you have to be able to make, you know.
No, right. You've got to be telling them, like, you're starting, you got to be the leader. If you don't want to be the leader, we'll find somebody else. But if Kyrie's going to be a cancer, you either get rid of him now or wait till the end of the season, which kind of sucks, and then you got to trade him.
And that's the thing, Tim. He's got no trade value, really, especially the longer you wait. He's a guy that, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent. And he did say that he wanted to re-sign with the Celtics. He hasn't publicly reneged on that here, but that the Celtics want him to resign.
That's thinking.
The Celtics feel like that's a guy that they can build their future around. And I'm telling you right now, the way that this season is going, there may be a difficult decision that Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck have to make here at some point in the offseason. You know, what if you have a conversation with Kyrie and he says, I will re-sign. I will live up to my word and re-sign and sign that max deal. But I'm not playing for that guy. You need to upgrade the coach. I want my coach. That's something that LeBron James would do, by the way. That is something that LeBron James has done many times in his career, where he has demanded his own head coach. And guess what? The Cavaliers, they've always given it to him. But despite all the historic years of incredible basketball and all the numbers that LeBron put up in Cleveland over the years, that way of putting a team together, listening to your star player, rather than letting the leaders be the leaders, the GMs be the GMs, you know, the presidents of basketball operation be the presidents of basketball operation, when you let the players run the show, they got one championship with the best player on the planet over the last 16 years. That's an embarrassment, and I don't want to see the Celtics go down that road and allow Kyrie Irving the ability to sort of control this basketball team from afar. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I promise you, we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll get to all of your phone calls, and eventually here, we will get to the Patriots. I am very aware that the Patriots are headed to Kansas City. I'm very aware that there's an AFC Championship game, but I'm also very aware that I'm here tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night with plenty of time to talk to you guys about the Patriots. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. Right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing our discussion here tonight of just what the hell has gone wrong with the Celtics at virtually the halfway point of the season here. This team remains wildly inconsistent, a collection of pieces that don't seem to fit all that well together. All of these things are things that I think even the biggest Celtics fans, even the closest members to this team, media-wise, could not have predicted going into the season. Here to help me sort of emotionally deal with what I'm dealing with, because it has not been easy. As a guy that has been sort of by my side over the course of the last couple of years, helping keep my emotions in check, Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. The question now, Dan, though, is, are you the guy that's going to talk me off the ledge, or is this going to be a mutual type of conversation here tonight?
Well, listen, it certainly hasn't been the best basketball I've ever seen in my life watching this team play. That I can say for sure.
I mean, you look at this team, and first and foremost, we can get into the personalities. We can get into if Brad Stevens isn't effectively communicating with his players. Is Kyrie Irving leading like LeBron James, and he didn't like it when it happened to himself, so why is he doing it? We can do all that, but just look at the numbers real quick. You know, this team has now lost as many road games as they did all year last year. The Celtics, the one thing they've done well this year is they've played well at home. They're 15-5, 10-13 on the road. You know this, I know this. Anybody that follows the NBA knows this. Usually the mark of a mentally tough team is a team that's able to succeed on the road. This team does not have that ability this year. Who would have thought going into this season where these guys are coming off a Eastern Conference Finals appearance where they were 5 minutes away from going to the NBA Finals, that mental toughness was going to be an issue for this team this season?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to think that past success will guarantee anything in a new season, but I think we all had a certain level of expectation just given the talent that they were adding. It seemed like, okay, they have a team that has good young talent with star players, with veterans who have been there and won on the road, that to come out so flat, have these defensive lapses where they're giving up 44 points, multiple games to the Spurs just the other night. Then there was that quarter against Memphis. I think they gave up 39. I mean, it just doesn't feel like the team that we've been watching over the last few years. And it's not exactly early because, like you said, I mean, we're almost at the All-Star break.
Right. And that's, you know, therein lies the problem. I look at this team, and in normal years, you would say, okay, you got to shake this thing up. You've got to maybe even addition by subtraction. That way other guys have more shots available. Let's just say hypothetically that you traded away Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, and you didn't bring back anybody that offensively was going to contribute. You could certainly make the argument that that means more shots for other guys, and maybe that sort of, I don't know, makes things a little bit more tenable in that locker room for this team. But I feel like one of the problems that this team has had this year, Dan, is they're trying to serve too many evils, meaning on one hand, they're trying to live up to their expectations and at a minimum reach the NBA Finals, so take their next step in their progression as a team. On the other hand, they're tasked with continuing to, you know, get the next step in the progression of the young guys and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier. So that's a very different job in maximizing the talent of younger players as opposed to trying to get to the NBA Finals. And finally, Danny Ainge is trying to best position himself to potentially have a shot at the big guy as part of a package this offseason for Anthony Davis. So if you're the Celtics and you're trying to do all three of those things, accomplish all three of those goals while still winning basketball games, how the hell do you do that?
Well, I think a lot of the addition by subtraction, in my opinion, is a little overrated. I mean, we've seen this team go on stretches where they're averaging 30-plus point or 30-plus assists a night. They're top in the league in offense for, you know, a 20-game stretch, things like that. So I'm not completely sold that you have to take away to get the best out of them. I just think their biggest issue has been consistency. So when I think of them trying to get over the hump and be a competitive team in the East, I'm trying to think of ways that they can do that while still, you know, not giving up their future for something that may not make a difference in the long run. Like, if they were to get rid of key rotation players and nothing changes, and you have to add picks or whatever to players to sweeten it for an opposing team because you're probably trading a player that has decreased in value, and then they don't end up in the finals anyways, well, now you've just given up two key pieces for something that has pretty much been the whole point of this rebuild and a quest for Anthony Davis. So I think that's why we heard Ainge come out and say, listen, they like their roster. They want to see what they can do. I think part of that is he knows that he can't get rid of anybody until the summer, so they have to make it work.
How do they do that going into this summer with potentially, you know, three or four first-round draft picks, all guaranteed contracts, all, you know, at least two or three of them will probably be roster guys if they actually pick all of these guys. You could probably, you know, sign and stash a Euro guy here or there. But how would Brad Stevens have to deal with, let's say, two more first-round picks on this team and then continue to sort of babysit and monitor the growth of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Isn't that task a little bit too difficult for a contending team?
Well, it all just depends, right? Because they're going to have potentially some open roster spots due to guys not being, you know, not returning for luxury tax purposes and things like that. But I think if we can't pull off an Anthony Davis trade, you might see some Bill Belichick action where they're trading down, they're trading picks for future years because there isn't really a roster spot. And I think, you know, that's the challenge of Danny, is he has to have a plan B, plan C, plan D, because, you know, you already are working against the odds to even land Anthony Davis in the first place. So, you know, it all just depends on the value of these picks. Maybe there's, you know, a star we're not even thinking of, the same way we weren't even thinking of Kyrie Irving when it happened. So I've learned to just let Danny do his thing. I'll react to it when it happens, but I know he's going to be up to something.
It's Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me on the line right now from Barstool Sports, it's Dan Greenberg. You guys can follow him on Twitter, at StoolGreeny. And Dan, you know, for me anyways, I look at this team, and I was at the game in Orlando over the weekend, and we've all seen the video now of the Celtics drawing up that last play, and essentially Kyrie Irving visibly upset with the play that was drawn up from Brad Stevens. Kyrie's leadership style has been questioned in recent weeks here. Some have compared it to LeBron James's leadership style. Then you ask the question, well, Kyrie didn't like LeBron's leadership style so much that he had to get out of Cleveland. So why is he leading like that here in Boston? Is there a disconnect, in your opinion, between the way that Kyrie is trying to motivate the younger guys on this team and the way that those younger guys actually need to be motivated?
Well, when I think of how LeBron James was with him, it was almost more like belittling, right? Like he was calling him his little brother or things like that, or kid or whatever it was. I just think Kyrie's telling the truth, right? Like, what has he said that hasn't been true? I think, you know, him calling out young guys or saying they need to be consistent, I mean, again, that's the truth. So I just, you know, prefer do it behind closed doors. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I'm already dealing with guys, you know, shoving each other in huddles. I'm already dealing with losing games on the road that we shouldn't. So that I didn't really appreciate. But I don't have a problem with, you know, whether it's him or Al or any of these veterans to say, hey, if you're not picking, you know, you're under the deal, we're going to call you out. The same way I expect the young guys to do the same thing to the veterans. I think that's the the healthy communication that you need to say, hey, we're all able to be criticized. We're all in it together. So I'm trying not to make a big deal of it. I just need them to do everything in private.
But can a guy that thrives in ISO basketball and Kyrie Irving thrive as well on a team led by Brad Stevens, who is the anti-ISO basketball?
I think so. I mean, you look at how Kyrie's played offensively this season, it doesn't really feel like he's, you know, going ISO heavy. I think we've seen what this team looks like when they need him to sort of take over a game, and, you know, whether it's late in the fourth quarter to get them off to a good start. But you look at his advanced numbers, I mean, his assist percentage is up, his turnovers are improving, you know, on for the most part. I don't really have a problem with how he's looked offensively because he's been consistent. We haven't seen a stretch where he's, you know, one night 25 shots, the next night, you know, he's taking 30 shots. We've seen him get other guys involved, but make plays when they need him down the stretch. So I have no problems with his offense.
So one of the things that people said, you've said it, I've said it, every pundit that covers the NBA has said it going into this season, where the Celtics team, one of their problems could be, you know, maybe they've got too much talent. And I look at that now, and I compare the way that I think about it right now to the way I thought about it a few months ago. And you go up and down this lineup, and I could tell you that Gordon Hayward has been, you know, for the most part, pretty bad. And there's a lot of reasons why, but as far as his play on the court, he has been a lot worse than I think I thought he would be at this point in the season. I didn't think he'd be back, but I thought that he would at least be more consistent than he's been. So let's say that he has been, you know, a rough version of himself this year. Horford's been hurt. His numbers are down. His first step is completely gone. Defensively, he's a step slow on every defensive rotation. You look at a guy like Jaylen Brown. He has been wildly inconsistent. I know that he had a nice stretch here recently, but for the most part, you know, for every two or three great games, he has a game where he reminds you of Jeff Green, where he just sort of stands there with his head down, not performing with that same sort of fire that he performed with last year, a guy that wasn't afraid to attack the basket, a guy that wasn't afraid to go get his own on any given night. He has been a disappointment this year. You know, you look at Terry Rozier, he has certainly taken a step back this year. So the argument that they've got too much talent to be as successful as they could be, I feel like with each passing game, each passing day, that argument carries less and less weight.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's almost a situation where, you know, your talk is cheap. I mean, I can hear you talk about how good your talent is, but at some point it has to translate to beating, you know, the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic of the world. I mean, it's like, great, if you have all this talent, well, all I hear is how talent wins in the NBA, but I can't beat the Magic, and I'm getting down by 27 against, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. So, you know, if they come out tomorrow and they, you know, win comfortably and handle the Raptors, I think, you know, maybe we all say, well, okay, they have some bad losses, but, you know, again, they're competitive against the top end of their conference. But, you know, until then, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. So until I see it on a consistent basis, I'm not buying they have too much talent, and if that's the case, their talent isn't that good.
Are you disappointed at all in the performance of Brad Stevens this year?
I'm surprised by it. I don't know if disappointed is the right word, because I'd still take a bullet for the man, but, you know, for me, I just watch him give away games on a consistent basis, it feels like. I just, you know, the other night was a perfect example. He takes a timeout 30 seconds in when Terry Rozier goes over his screen right after a turnover, because he can't stand to play, you know, to see this poor play on the court. But then he doesn't call a timeout in the last 7 minutes of the third quarter when they're on a bazillion to zero run. So that is just so confusing, because that's happened a few times now. And I think it's fair to question how he's handling, you know, all this talent. That was his big question heading into the year. We were finally going to see how he could do with, you know, when he wasn't going to be the scrappy underdog, when he was going to be the hunted, how is he going to get these guys motivated and to buy in? And I can't say that they've done that on a consistent basis, and that has to fall on him.
All right, so Dan Greenberg, you know, full-time Barstool blogger. Let's say that you take off that hat tomorrow and you are, for one day only, the Celtics coach. Yeah, earlier this season when the Celtics had chemistry issues, they had effort issues, you know, Brad seemed to pull the right strings and, you know, changed around that starting lineup. He inserted the Marcuses into the starting lineup, and things changed at least in the short term. The Celtics felt some success and some consistency after that that hadn't happened at that point in the season thus far. So you look at what they've gone through now. The Celtics, to start the new calendar year, they were playing some of their best basketball of the season. That Pacers win, I think back to, as a full 48-minute effort. Then they go on the road with three abysmal losses. And the worst part about these losses, Dan, is that they weren't just losses on the court. There was BS that took place off the court as well during or after each and every one of these games. So if you're Brad, do you shake it up again, or do you just throw the same lineup out there once again tomorrow night?
Well, I wouldn't. I sort of talked a little bit about this earlier today. I wouldn't hate. What if he just switches it up? I feel like, you know, the two Marcuses are sort of the Celtics Swiss Army knives. Like, whatever unit is struggling, you can throw them in there and they can change the whole complexion of that unit. The starters needed that. The starters were underachieving. There was no energy. You know, they were, you know, getting off to these slow starts. You insert both of them and everything changes. Well, now it's really the second unit that's killing this team. You look at them at the, you know, the start of these second quarters, the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter has cost them, you know, two or three games already that are going to be important as we try to, you know, get back into the conversation at top of the East. So why not just, you know, bring them back down for a stretch, see if they can, you know, bring some stability to that lineup. It takes the ball off Terry's hands as the primary point guard in the second unit. You have a much bigger facilitator. Maybe you run a little bit more point Hayward. I say, you know, when Baines comes back, throw him in the starting lineup. Maybe give Jalen, you know, his two-guard spot left so you can have, you know, Hayward be the primary usage guy on that unit. This team needed some sort of spark, and last year's, you know, Baines-centered starting five seems to do all right, so why not give it a shot?
So I heard earlier today that he's a game-time decision tomorrow night. Has that been updated?
That's what I heard. I heard he wasn't out or doubtful, and I'm hoping that he plays because they need – you know, him and Ibaka are going to – someone needs to box out Serge Ibaka tomorrow.
Yeah, he does. But you look at – again, you know, you mentioned the Celtics, the potential of them winning tomorrow night. I think that potential is actually pretty high. When you look at the way they've played against Toronto, against the Sixers, against the Bucks, they'll put themselves in a good position. They won't be embarrassed tomorrow night like they were for different reasons throughout this three-game losing streak, this three-game road trip. And that, to me, is part and parcel to the frustration level that Celtics fans are experiencing with this team. You have a team that shows that they're capable of competing with the best in the conference, yet you can't get them to put even, I don't know, a 70% effort level out there, which should be enough to beat a team like the Magic or beat a team like the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and that's the consistency that's plagued them all year. And I don't want to, you know, I'm interested tomorrow to see when Toronto comes out and punches them, Kawhi goes on like an 8-0 run by himself, what are they going to do? Are they going to just fold, say, oh, no, it's happening again mentality and do nothing but chuck up threes and give up layups? Or are they actually going to play defense, run an offense, and punch back? And I think you know it's going to come. You know Toronto, you know, they're, you know, Fred VanVleet is going to hit like a big-time late fourth quarter three, and it's all going to be how you execute down the stretch, so I can't wait to see it.
All right, I got one more for you, and you got to think about this one, but let's say hypothetically that this season continues to be this roller coaster. The end of the season comes, everybody's frustrated, and Kyrie essentially says, all right, Danny, I told you I'd resign here, I will, but I'm not playing for that guy. Let's say he continues to be a little baby LeBron, and he wants to bring in his own coach. You tell me, what's more important to the future success of this franchise? Is it having that quote-unquote transformative star like a Kyrie Irving or having a guy like Brad Stevens at the helm of this thing for the foreseeable future?
If you're telling me all the, you know, the roster stays the same and they still have all these, you know, lottery picks and everything like that, I can't see. If he doesn't win them a championship, I don't understand how you can fire a young up-and-coming coach like Brad Stevens just because Kyrie says so. I mean, that would be pretty crazy. Ainge, I don't know. I mean, ownership seems – they just gave him like a what? Like another 6-year extension. So
I mean, go ask David Blatt how that feels. You know what I mean? Like it happens. Sometimes these stars that think that they're bigger than the game sort of get their ego in the way, and that's my one and only singular fear with Kyrie Irving is that the more I watch him, the more I get to know his personality – that ego sort of is getting in the way right now, and I feel like that ego is alienating some of his younger players, and I feel like that's becoming a communication problem on this team. There's a frustration level that is almost at a boiling point. Right now, everybody's dancing around it. One of these nights, those little, I don't know, you want to call them a punch or whatever you saw on the Celtics bench the other night, I feel like whatever that was is going to be magnified, because if this continues and this frustration level continues to boil over and Kyrie continues to point to the young guys and the young guys continue to be defensive about it, you're going to see this thing boil over, and maybe this thing boiling over ultimately will be what's best for this team, because something's got to give here.
I don't know. I want to see how they do in the spring. I think that'll really determine everything. I want to see if they make a deep run and things, you know, just don't work out. I think that's a little bit different than if they have, you know, a first round exit or something crazy like that. So I'm not truly freaking out until we see, you know, until the spring comes and until they're in the finals and we can just look back and laugh at this time in history.
You got to do something with your dog or do something to help the situation.
Listen,
here.
I'm about to get another St. Bernard puppy. I got to turn something around. Everyone has to do their part.
It's all on you, man. You're supposed to be a Celtic. Go do your thing. I want to see you rise.
No kidding. Oh, first of all, maybe that's it. Maybe we just need a new slogan and a new intro video and everything will be fixed.
Yeah, that's it right there. I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks so much for helping talk me off the ledge. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Patrick. Thank you.
There he goes. Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. You guys can find him at Stool Greeny on Twitter. Check out his stuff, barstoolsports.com. He's awesome. He's the best. And, you know, everybody's got to do their part. But one quick little point that he made there. Yeah, the CS Rise, that has got to go. And the intro video, that has got to go. Maybe it just a fresh start all over for the Celtics will, cleanse this team from whatever has ailed them throughout most of this season. It is Sports Radio. WEI, I promise you this, when we come back here on Late Night, we will return to your phone calls, continuing with our Celtics conversation. Again, you know, I don't think that this is as unrealistic as Dan does. I think that there could come a point here where the Celtics might have to make a choice. And what's more important to a franchise, ultimately? Is it a cornerstone coach? Or is it a cornerstone franchise player? Because the Celtics have got one of each right now. But the franchise player isn't leading the way that a typical franchise player leads, and the franchise coach isn't winning at the level that a franchise coach typically wins. You see the problem there? It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. We'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. I got to say this, the texter line here is pretty much in the camp of you got to jettison, you got to trade Kyrie Irving. This is amazing to me. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12 consecutive texts that all suggest trading Kyrie Irving. And then to add further fuel to that fire, I'm not a fan of First Take, but First Take this morning put out a Twitter poll and said, should the Celtics consider trading Kyrie Irving? 32,000 votes were in. 61% said, yes, the Celtics should consider trading Kyrie Irving. I never thought that the Celtics would potentially be in this position. I never thought Celtics fans would have to sit here and potentially discuss this going into this season. This was not on the menu. This was not something that anybody could have predicted. You know, you could certainly predict the demise or the lack of performance from Gordon Hayward. You know, you can make the argument, I made it a couple of weeks ago, that it's going to take him 2 years to come back and be the guy that we remember. We could certainly predict the decline of Al Horford. He has been a step slow this year. He's been plagued with a knee injury. That, coupled with the fact that he's played out of position because of the injury to Aaron Baines, has made Al Horford look like a shell of himself at times this year. I think you could even predict a bit of a regression from guys like Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier because their rise last year that was sort of precipitated out of need, right? It wasn't because they earned those minutes that they got last year. It was given to them because the Celtics had a need. With that need now eliminated this year, you could certainly predict a bit of a regression for those guys as well. The one thing that there is not one singular Celtics fan or one singular Celtics personality, pundit, media guy, radio guy, TV guy, writer, blogger, there is not one that could have told me 20 or even 40 games ago to start this season that there would be a legitimate discussion happening around the trade deadline of potentially moving on from Kyrie Irving. That, especially after Kyrie pledged his long-term love to the Celtics, that's something that nobody could have foreseen. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones. We'll go. Jesus, I know what's going to happen now. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne's in Southie. Wayne, you're next up here on WEI.
Did you just say Jesus, Patrick Gilroy?
I did, but I made the sign of the cross.
Say the Lord's name. Wayne says, do not say the Lord's name in vain.
But Wayne,
anyway, Gilroy, no, real quick, you promised me this. You said, Wayne, if you're right, I said that they were going to beat the, guess what the score was? And I bet, I won $1,000.
So when are we going out? When are you taking me out for drinks? You want $1,000. Your pocket is full. All right. So when are we going out?
Well, I got my own money. I'm just saying my mind. See, being smart. Pick. You know, you want to know the only year I ever gambled? You want to talk about God doing mysterious things?
Yeah.
I gambled 1 year. All right. Listen to this, Gilroy. And it was the 2007 year where we were going to be 19-0, I thought. And I would have never had to talk about all I would have done to people is look at them and go, 19-0. Shut up.
Dude, you tell me this, Wayne. On Friday, for the lollipop job, I have to go down to Woonsocket.
I don't know. I was going to ask you, how's your marathon?
But marathon, it was great. It was a great weekend, a great experience. And
good for you, brother. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
You got out of the radio station. It feels good, huh?
I needed a few days to sort of just come back here and be refreshed. You know what I mean? I can't believe
you're good. You sell lollipops, too?
I do. That's my full-time job. I'm a candy salesman, yeah. So I've been doing
it
for years.
Awesome. Look at that. And you do on the radio. That's great. You do two jobs, man. You're a good father.
Here's the thing, Wayne. My wife and kids like nice things. You know what I mean? So,
but I hear you. I was married. I know.
You get it.
I got her. I happened to hook up with the guy. I told you, I used to book shows. Well, I got the guy who sang the song Diamond Girl, David Therese. And he came down to Boston. I booked him in a couple of places. And he was, oh, my God, the things he used to say. He'd walk, because he's Italian, he'd walk down the street whistling at the girls going, hey, baby, you want to see me?
So you're rolling right now with your predictions. I'm going to Woonsocket. Right down the street, like 5 minutes away, is Twin River.
41.
So that's
win.
I'm going to make my bets.
42-41.
All right, 52-41. I'm making my bets on Friday at Twin River. So 52-41, the Patriots win.
I know, but how many people really thought the Chargers? Come on, Gilroy. Eva, what you got there on night? On WEI, Ryan Hannibal or something.
Yep.
He said, oh, it's the scariest team ever. Brady made them look like they were playing in junior league. He eviscerated them. That wasn't even a game.
No, Brady was incredible. And it's amazing to me. You know, we talked about this, by the way.
We do the same thing to Mahomes, though. But one thing we got to do is spy on him. Listen, I got the whole game plan. I'm telling you right now. You want to hear it real quick?
Why not? Late night is for you. This is your show, Wayne. I'm just hanging out.
They're gonna double team Kelsey, right? They're gonna put down Gilmore on Tyreek Hill, and they're gonna put Patrick Chung or what's his name over the top. That kid J.C. Jackson has turned out to be really good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I do. Of course I do. But when you look.
So we put him, and he's quick. We put him as a spy on Mahomes, right? Just sit back there. When you see him run, boom, you go get him.
Look, Mahomes is going to be a different animal. You know that. You know.
I know that, but if you get at him, I notice he gets nervous. But look at the last game. What do you call it? Belichick got him to throw two interceptions.
Well, that's the other thing here. So, you know, he does get a little bit nervous. It's very rare when it happens, but Belichick did get pressure on him in the last game. Here's the thing, Wayne. You know, this is where the Patriots' experience, I really think, is going to be a huge factor. This is to get to the Super Bowl.
Brady, imagine this is his 14th AFC championship.
It's bananas. Yeah,
he's been in the league 18 years. Real quick, Gilroy. The guy came on. You want to know how bad they hit the Patriots? The guy came on who was doing the show for CBS, right? And he said, the very beginning, he goes, when they talk to you, he goes, sorry, folks, this isn't the NFL. This isn't supposed to happen. The Patriots aren't supposed to win every game.
It's about right, man. The rest of the country hates this right now. I'm telling you. If the Patriots make this.
You know why Brady got upset? Did you hear him swear for the first time ever, Gilroy? You missed Brady swear?
No. I watched the game. I went to ESPN Zone and watched the game down there.
Everybody in the country, there was a map on Facebook. The whole country, it was in. Everybody bet the Chargers. Only two little red dots. It was Massachusetts and Maine that stuck with the Patriots.
Yeah, but you know the Patriots were favored in the game, right?
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
Were they?
Yeah, they were. Vegas had them favored. But I get it.
Was it 3 points?
Yeah, it's the home thing. So when
we win by 40 points?
Well, you could have. I mean, the Patriots, they went into
that. They took their foot off the gas.
They did.
I don't like when they do that.
They went into the prevent defense. They tried not to lose the game, essentially. And look, it could have been a bigger blowout, but the Patriots, they played their best half of football that they've played in maybe 2 years. That first half was awesome.
Do me a favor and pass on a message to your buddy there, Mark James.
All right, what's up?
Everybody's telling him. He talked mad trash about the Patriots saying the Chargers are going to be in blah, 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 blah. Tell him to shut up because the Patriots won again and they eviscerated your team.
I will do that for you, just for you, Wayne. I appreciate the phone call, and I'll talk to you again real soon.
You're awesome. Hey, when are you going to – now tell me real about the marathon. What did you run?
So I'll talk about the marathon coming up. It's almost midnight, but I'll talk about it coming up in the next hour, okay? But I did all right. But I wasn't – next year
you
I'm going to –
my pick? What about Wayne's pick for the – what's yours? I got to hear yours.
Hold on. You just told me 52-41, didn't you?
Yes, but I want to know what you're saying. What's your pick?
I think the Patriots are going to win, but I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be a touchdown or less, and I think it's going to happen late in the game. I think that the Patriots' biggest advantage...
Brady's going to get the ball.
Yes, that's it.
You know what they said they're going to do, Gilroy?
What are they going to do?
Like they did what they did with the Chargers on the first opening drive. The guy said, well, if Mahomes this, Mahomes that. Well, if Mahomes ain't on the field, he can't do nothing.
That's exactly right.
The Patriots are eating up 8 minutes on a drive.
That's exactly right.
That's what I want to see, like they did with the Chargers. When they did that to the Chargers, you know how messed up the Chargers were from that? The Patriots always in their own place get the ball. You know what I mean? They kick the ball because they want the second half.
Correct.
This is the first time they received the ball.
Yep, because that was the game plan. They wanted to take the ball out of his hands, and they do the same thing this weekend. I appreciate the phone call, Wayne. Good stuff, and I love the energy at midnight. Sometimes you need that. Wayne is like a cup of coffee. You know, he just sort of brings the energy up here. I love that stuff. But listen, I think you're going to have a very similar game plan where the Patriots are purposely going to go out there. They did a great job mixing it up with Sonny Michel and the throwing game and the passing game. And just enough dink and dunk to sort of eat up that clock and really rely on these guys. Julian Edelman, to me, was the biggest surprise of the game. Not that he was effectively, you know, once again, the toughest son of a bitch in football, which is what he has been the last couple of years. He was that guy again this year. You know, this year he was an effective ball catcher, but the yards after the catch were really missing. That toughness level that we've come to know from Edelman over the last few years hadn't been there this year. He was seemingly a little timid, maybe showing some signs of the surgery, showing signs of age, right? And I sort of joked to my buddy that was next to me. I said, whatever PEDs that guy took to get him suspended for four games, he took them going into this game. You could tell from the moment he caught that first ball that he wasn't having any of the BS. He was throwing defenders off of him, fighting for each and every yard after the catch. All this stuff helps the Patriots essentially continue to chew up that clock. And that was a huge part of their game plan last weekend. And it's one they're going to try and replicate on the road. The problem with that is you're playing in a emotionally charged up stadium where, let's face it, the Patriots' ability to communicate is going to be hampered. So I feel like it's not going to come nearly as easily offensively as it did last week for the Patriots. All that being said, if the Patriots can do their job, and their singular job here is to not let Mahomes get going, you don't want to see Kansas City get out to a multiple touchdown lead. You don't want to find yourself on the backside of momentum trying to come back from 14, 17 down. You do not want that on the road against this team because Mahomes is a front runner, and front runners do what? They pour it on when they're out there, you know, leading a game. If the Patriots can keep this thing a 3-point game, a 7-point game at worst, and they put themselves in a position to win the thing on one of the final drives of the game, that's when you'll see the Patriots shine, in my opinion, because, again, you know, you've got a couple of huge factors here. You absolutely do. You got the head coach, who is a perennial loser, essentially. The bigger the game, the more likely he has been. You're not going to tell me, you're not going to convince myself and relax himself and say, I've been here before. This is where Brady, this is where Belichick should shine. But the key to this whole thing, Wayne, is going to be the Patriots not allowing the Chargers, an emotionally charged-up team in an emotionally charged-up stadium, and a team that feels like going to the Super Bowl is their destiny. You cannot let them jump out to an early 14-point lead. You don't want to be playing catch-up against a team like that with a front-running quarterback like Mahomes. It is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. When we come back, we'll continue with our Celtics discussion, and we'll start to work in some football talk here as we are, what, now officially it is Wednesday. And look, this Patriots game is creeping up closer and closer and closer. Is it the end of the Gronk era here if the Patriots lose, or the Patriots, or is this team essentially, is this their big FU to everybody? You know, is this the FU tour that we saw a few years ago happening all over again? We'll start to mix in your Patriots thoughts as well at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Yeah. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.